السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا. وقال تعالى: واصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: إن الصدق يهدي إلى البر، وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, it is the promise of Allah and the declaration of Quran that no person's good deeds will go unrewarded. You will either be rewarded in this world, or Allah will keep a handsome reward for you in Akhirah. But one thing is certain, wasbir. Allah Ta'ala says, persevere. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. If you paraphrase this verse of Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that your spiritual investment will definitely mature. Your spiritual investment will definitely mature. Any good deed that you do in this world, that hand of generosity that you exhibit, that act of nobility that you display, that kind word, that kind gesture that you express to someone else, it will come to your rescue on that day when you need it the most. It will come to your rescue on that day when you need it the most. So my brothers, I hope by the time we end this Jumu'ah program, I leave an indelible impression in your heart. Then let us leave this gathering with this intention, knowing very well that whatever little good you do in this world, Allah will most definitely reward you, not only in this dunya, but in akhirah. And I just want to cite a few examples in the light of Quran and Sunnah, just to try and elucidate this particular theory and to add flesh to the bone, like we say in English, just to elucidate and to try and explain to you, you know, how good deeds benefit a person in this world. What did the Nabi of Allah say? Open the riwayat of Ibn Abi Dunya. Nabi alayhi salam says, when you meet your fellow Muslim brother and you smile at him, what did the Nabi of Allah say? That out of that smile, Allah creates an angel. So what do the scholars write? That any good deed that you do in this world will be given the form of an angel. And that angel will worship Allah on your behalf. When you die, and when you are lying in your qabr, this angel will come to you, and he will say, Ta'arifuni, do you recognize me? You will say, I don't know you. The angel will say, Ana surur alladhi adkhalta ala fulan. I am that smile that you expressed to so and so in the world. I mean, today my brothers, we're smiling at the wrong woman, at the wrong place. I mean, you can't smile at your own wife. You know, I always say this, you know, generally on occasions of nikah, I say outside the house we are ever smiling. Inside the house we are never smiling. Another man's wife impresses me. My own wife depresses me. So what did the Nabi of Allah say? He said, every good deed that you do, you smile at your fellow brother. You'll be lying in the grave. The angel will come to you and he will say, Ana surur alladhi adkhalta ala fulan. I am that smile that you express to so and so in the world. Listen what I have to offer you today. Ana al-yawm unisu wahshatak wa ulaqqinuka hujjatak wa uthabbituka bil qawli thabit wa ushhiduka mashahida yawm al-qiyamah. Listen, today I stand by your side. When the angels come and question you, I will answer on your behalf. Like we say, don't speak to me, speak to my lawyer. I will answer on your behalf. I will illuminate your grave. I will see you through the subsequent stages of death. And I will not leave you until I have not seen you entered into the gardens of Jannah. So my brothers, we don't realize what good deed you do in the world. In fact, if you open Ibn Abi Dunya, there is a narration on the strength of Uqayn rahmatullahi alayh. In the years gone by, there were two men that walked into the marketplace. It was an ungodly environment, and they were strangers to one another. So one of them told the other that Ta'al nastaghfirullah fi ghaflatin nas. Let us speak about the greatness of the Almighty Allah. Let us speak about the Almighty Allah. You know, my brothers, often it happens, a man comes to you and he says, introduce Islam to me in a few words. What do we say? Just one moment, I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. Let me phone my Maulana and let me ask him. I might tell you the wrong thing. But ask about sports and politics, I mean, you'll give a long bayan about it. So he said, let us speak about the Almighty Allah. The person said, brilliant idea. So they dropped whatever they were doing in this ungodly environment in the marketplace. And they spoke about the Almighty Allah, the greatness of Allah. Time passed on, they parted ways. One of them happened to pass away. The other had seen him in a vision and a dream. And he asked him, Ma fa'ala Allahu bik? How did you fare before the Almighty Allah? He says, I was lying in my grave, an angel came to me. And he said, I brought to you the glad tidings on a particular day, one moment of nobility. You and so, you spoke about the greatness of the Almighty Allah. Allah has sent me to inform you that He has forgiven you. And not only has Allah forgiven you, the man who is walking on Mother Earth, despite him still being alive, Allah has also forgiven him. So really, my brothers, we don't know what act of nobility. If you open Bidayah wa Nihaya, there is an amazing narration that there was one person in the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. This person had a bad habit that whenever a bird would lay an egg and a nestling would be born, this man would come and he would snatch the nestling in front of the mother. So this bird complained to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. فَشَكَى ذَلِكَ الطَّيْرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَا يَسْنَعُ الرَّجُلُ. This bird complains to Allah. That, oh me Allah, whenever I lay an egg and a nestling is born, this man comes, this evil man, and he snatches the nestling in front of my eyes. Allah inspires the bird. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنْ هُوَ عَاد فَسَأُهْلِكُهُ. I gave you the reference, Bidayah wa Nihaya. Allah Ta'ala tells the bird via the angel, if this man ever repeats that action again, I will destroy him instantly. Subsequently, a few months later, the bird lays an egg and two nestlings were born. This man got to know about it. And فَلَمَّا كَانَ فِي طَرْفِ الْقَرْيَةِ, when he was in that locality, as he was walking, وَأَسْنَدَ سُلَّمًا, he carried his step ladder. And as he was walking towards this nest, one person came to him and he said, give me something. فَأَعْطَاهُ رَغِيفَ مِنْ زَادِ. He opened up whatever he had. He took out a piece of bread and he gave it to that beggar. He gave it to that beggar. And then he continues. He climbs up the step ladder and he snatches the nestlings in front of the mother. These birds complain to the Almighty Allah that, Ya Rabbana innaka wa'attana an tuhlikahu in aad waqad aad falam tuhlikhu. Oh Allah, you had promised if this man ever repeats that action again, you will destroy him instantly. Allah Ta'ala then tells the birds, أَوَلَمْ تَعْلَمَا أَنِّي لَا أَهْلِكُ أَحَدًا يَتَصَدَّقْ بِصَدَقَةِ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Don't you know, I will never harm nor punish any person who gives charity on a day. Now my brothers, this in no way suggests that we go on committing wrongs and thereafter we give charity and we think we will have our problem solved. But more than often we do things that are incorrect. You utter that which is incorrect. Make charity a common practice. In that same narration it is written, there was a person in the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam who had an evil habit. You know, like you find today, like they say, some people, like they say in English, you know, some people bring about positivity wherever they go. And on the other hand, some people bring about positivity whenever they go. So some people, wherever they go, people, you know, latch onto them. And some people, you can't wait for this man to die. You know, you're better dead than alive, like people will say. So this person was an evil man. He used to annoy people. So people tell Isa alayhi salam, he's an evil man. Isa alayhi salam, he said, tomorrow that man will be dead. The next day they see this man is walking around. Isa alayhi salam, they come to him and they tell him, perhaps your curse fell on someone else. This man is still walking around. Isa alayhi salam said, call the man. As he comes before Isa alayhi salam, he was holding something in his hand. Isa alayhi salam told him, throw it down. As he throws it down, he said, open this bundle of wood. As he opened the bundle of wood, فَإِذَا فِيهَا حَيَّةٌ سَوْدَى, there was a venomous serpent inside. Isa alayhi salam looks at this man and he said, on my command, the serpent was ordered to poison you. But is some action that you had done in your life that has averted my curse from you? He says, I've done absolutely nothing. Isa alayhi salam said, think carefully, what have you done? He said, yesterday I was walking on the road. A person came to me. I took out one dirham and I gave it to that man. Isa alayhi salam looked at him and he said, because of that one dirham that you had given to that beggar, you have averted the curse of the Nabi of Allah from you. So my brothers, we don't realize, you know, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of an incident that there was a murder that had taken place in the time of Musa alayhi salam. And they were trying to identify who the murderer is. So the Bani Israel, they come to Musa alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْنَ ضَرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. They tell Musa alayhi salam, there's a murder that had taken place. We're trying to locate and identify who the murderer is. Musa alayhi salam speaks to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, tell the Bani Israel to slaughter a cow. So Musa alayhi salam, he calls the Bani Israel and he said, my Allah says, slaughter a cow. They said, we're asking you who the murderer is and you are telling us to slaughter the cow. How do you reconcile this? But that was the temperament and the nature of the Bani Israel. They kept on asking question after question. My brothers, we all know the narrative. They come to Musa alayhi salam, give us a detailed description of this cow. Salah goes into great detail that you must slaughter an animal that is bright, bright yellow in color. Slaughter an animal that is not used for cultivating the land. So when Musa alayhi salam gave them the detailed description of this cow, they went searching and looking for that particular animal from farm to farm, farm to farm. Eventually they come to the outskirts of the locality and there was a small holding. There was a young man and he had the cow that met the description that Musa had given them. They come to this young man and they say, how much do you want for the cow? He says, you will never pay the price of this cow. They say, you name the price, we will give you the amount. This young man tells the Bani Israel, the weight of the cow in gold. The weight of the cow in gold. The Bani Israel said, it's a done deal. They came with chunks of gold and they gave it to this man. What do the Mufassirin write? Overnight, a man who owned one cow became a cattle farmer. They say, what was the reason for that? He was very dutiful and very kind towards his mother. He was very kind towards his mother. Because of that, Allah gave him so much of barakah in his life. Open the riwayat of Hakim on the strength of our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. One day the Nabi of Allah, he gets up in the morning and he said, O Aisha, nimtu, I went to sleep. Fara'aytu fil manam, I had seen a vision and a dream. What is it, O Nabi of Allah? What dream that you see? She says, Nabi alayhi salam said, O Aisha, I had seen a person reciting Quran on the earth, but his recitation was resounding in the heavens. Nabi alayhi salam said, I asked the angels that were with me, tell me whose recitation is that? The angels told me, that is Haritha bin Nu'man. Haritha bin Nu'man. And then the Nabi of Allah said, why has Allah favored him with this privilege? He was very kind and obedient towards his parents. He was very kind and obedient towards his parents. His recitation had taken place on this earth, but his recitation resounded in the heavens. So really, my brothers, we don't know which act of nobility that you will display. You know, Sufyan Thawri, When he passed away, somebody had seen him in a vision and a dream. Sufyan Thawri was a great giant. You know, you study the books, there are many accolades attributed to him. He was a great giant when he came to knowledge. Somebody had seen him in a vision and a dream. And they asked him, "Ma fa'ala Allahu bik?" How did you fare before the Almighty Allah? How did you fare before the Almighty Allah? He said, when I died, I was placed into my grave. And he said, the angel came to me. And he said that our records do not fail us. The records of Allah do not fail us. He said, on a particular day, you were sitting in seclusion. There was no one around you. And you were tempted with evil. You were tempted by a beautiful woman. But at that time, you managed to resist the provocation of your ego because of that one moment of nobility. And suppressing your ego, Allah has decided to forgive you. So really, my brothers, we don't know. You know, like they say in English, they say that no one in this world is sinless. No one in this world is sinless. But every one of us can make a concerted effort to sin less in the world. No one is sinless. But every one of us can make a concerted effort to sin less in the world. And what do they say in English? Not everyone in this world can do great things. But every one of us can do simple things in a great way. Not everyone can do great things. My brothers, every one of us has the ability of doing simple things in a great way. And let me remind you, that act of nobility, no matter how trivial you consider that act to be, it will come to your rescue and it will benefit you on that day when you need it the most. So my message to you is, continue filling your reserves. Continue filling your reserves. You know, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he walks into a garden and he sees a beggar sitting on the floor. And next to him is a dog. Next to him is a dog. And he has a slice of bread in his hand. This beggar takes the slice of bread and he breaks it in two. He gives half to the dog and he had eaten the other half. Hassan radiallahu anhu was moved. My brothers, become part of a ummah. Do not become an individual. Be part of an ummah. Become part of the ummah. Hassan radiallahu anhu was moved. He looked at this beggar and he said, "You are hungry. What motivated you? What inspired you to do what you had done?" What did he say? Istahad aynaya min aynayhi an ughabinahu. He says, I had literally seen hunger in the eyes of this dog. I could not, for the sake of me, eat the slice of bread alone, knowing that there is a creation of Allah that is hungry. These were human beings. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he looks at this man. He said, "Tell me, who is your master?" He said, "Abban bin Usman. Who does this garden belong to?" "It belongs to my master, Abban bin Usman." Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he starts parading the streets in Medina. And he says, "Aina Abban bin Usman? Where is this man? I'm looking for him." Abban bin Usman says, "I am the man you are looking for." He said, "Tell me, is that your slave sitting in the garden?" "Yes." "Does that garden belong to you?" "Of course." "How much do you want for it?" "I want an X amount for the garden and the slave." Hassan gives him the money and he comes back to the slave and he says, "I have liberated you from your master and now you are free. I have purchased this garden from your master and I gift it to you." One act of nobility. A man who was a beggar had become a multi-millionaire. You know, Abdullah bin Mubarak had a non-Muslim neighbor. He puts the house on the market and he asks for an exorbitant price. People ask him, "How will you reach the price? How will you fetch the price?" He says, no, one is the value of the house, but number two, more than that, the man who moves into my house will have the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. When Abdullah bin Mubarak heard this, he was blown away. He comes to this man, his neighbor, who he assumed was still a non-Muslim. He said, "Oh my brother, how about you accepting Islam? I heard the kind words that you had uttered about me. How about me giving you the invitation to Islam?" He said, "Abdullah, what can I tell you? The day you moved next door, I saw your character, I became a Muslim. The day you moved next door, I saw your character, I became a Muslim." You know, my brothers, they always say this. One day the scholar, this alim on a Friday, you know, he ascends the pulpit, addressing the congregants. He said, "My brothers, today I've got good news. I've got two messages for you. Nothing more, two messages. I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is, we now have sufficient funds to complete the masjid project. That's the good news. Now comes the bad news. The bad news is the money is still in your pockets." I say, my brothers, as Muslims, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is we have that formula, we have that recipe, we have that prescription to rescue the broader world from the mayhem, from the turbulence it is experiencing. But the bad news is, this formula is in my pocket. This formula is on the tongues of orators. This formula is on my bookshelf. If only you and I can stand up to the test of time and revive the exemplary character and revive the impeccable character of the Nabi of Allah, I swear by the Almighty Allah, you will see the impact this will have on the broader world. You know, there is the scholar in America. So he says, one day I was preparing my Jumu'ah lecture and my son was interjecting. You know, children are children today. You know, you give them the toy cell phone, they want the real one. You give them the real one, they want the one that you are using. You know, you give them a pen, they want the one that you... That's children. That's the temperament of children. So he says, my son was interjecting and I was trying to gather my thoughts and put together this Jumu'ah lecture. I thought to myself, the best way is, he opens a magazine and he finds the map of the world. So he tears the page out and he takes this page and he cuts it up into a puzzle. You know, Africa, Asia, China, Europe, America, South America, whatever it is. He thought to himself, at least I would have an hour to gather my thoughts and put this lecture together. So he calls his boy and he said, put the puzzle together. 5 minutes down the line, the son comes. He said, "Dad, puzzle is done." Like they say in English, apples don't fall too far from the tree. So dad says, "What you mean it's done?" The son looks at his dad and he said, "My father, don't look at the map of the world. Look behind the map. It was the picture of a man." He said, "This was a simple puzzle to put in place. I put their eyes in place. I put their head in place. I put the arms in place. I put the feet in place." The father says, "My son, today you have taught me the greatest lesson of life. When man comes together, the world will come in order." When man comes together, my brothers, forget our petty differences. I always speak about this. You know, we look at differences of opinion in the ummah. The definition of the unification of this ummah is not consensus on one view. Understand that. The definition of the unification of this ummah is not consensus on one view, simply because if any person has this intention of unifying the ummah by bringing them onto consensus, I'm afraid by its very definition, it's a flawed definition. Sahaba were the most united, but they differed on so many issues. Allahu Akbar. So like I said, my brothers, the point of focus is whatever good deed you do in this world will benefit you on that day when you need it the most. A most telling example in Quran is that of Abu Lahab. You know, we've heard the name Abu Lahab. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. It is said Abu Lahab had a slave girl by the name of Thuwaybah. Thuwaybah. Tafsir Ibn Kathir, if you open Tafsir Usmani, you will find the commentary of what I share with you. So he said that Thuwaybah, when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, subhanallah, Abu Lahab was informed of the birth of the Nabi of Allah. And as a token of appreciation of the good news that he received, what happened? He freed this girl Thuwaybah, the slave girl of his. And this is something which was customary amongst the Arabs. When somebody brought them some good news as a token of appreciation, they shared a gift or they did some act of nobility. So time passed on. That man, you know, who it is said he rejoiced at the birth of the Nabi of Allah, the day my Nabi and your Nabi said La ilaha illallah, he became the arch enemy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Time passed on, and Abu Lahab dies and he passes away. The riwayat of Bukhari, 1 year later, Bidaya wa Nihaya, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees a vision and a dream. And they look at Abu, he sees Abu Lahab in a dream. And he asked him, Ma fa'alallahu bik? How did you fare before the Almighty Allah? He said, I cannot give you the description of the hellfire. But is one thing I can tell you, that Monday when my nephew was born, I liberated my slave girl Thuwaiba. He says, because of that one act of nobility, every Monday in my grave, there is a gradual reduction in punishment. There is a gradual reduction in punishment, and I'm given few sips of water every Monday in my grave. Understand, my brother, a man who was the arch enemy of Islam. He was an obstacle to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even that man enjoyed, and he will enjoy and continue to enjoy benefits in his grave because of one act of nobility that he had done whilst he was alive, and he had freed his slave girl when he received the good news of the birth of his nephew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brothers, this is my message. Continue filling your reserves. You don't know which act of nobility will benefit you on that day when you need it the most. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we continue filling our reserves. Like I mentioned early on, not everyone can do great things, but every one of us can do simple things in a great way. And let me leave you with the couplets of the great giant Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i. What did he say? وَقَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. Some people have physically died, but the character has kept them alive. Some people are physically alive, but the character has killed them before they have physically died. What profound words. Let me repeat that. Some people have physically died, but the character has kept them alive. Some people are physically alive, but the character has killed them before they have physically died. My brothers, leave behind a positive legacy that when you are dead and gone, people will remember you for some good that you had done whilst you were alive. Allah has given us the means. Every one of us has that ability of doing some good action in a simple way. But wallahi, the rewards are very great in the eyes of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we can continue filling our reserves. For verily, we know not which act of nobility will benefit us on that day when we need it the most. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ.